Right now, I'd like to welcome you all to the conference, to the fourth quarter earnings call for Grupo Argos. All the lines have been placed on silent to prevent any background noise. After the comments by the speaker, there will be a Q&A session. If you wish to ask any question at this time, just press the star key followed by one on your phone keyboard. Ms. Natalia Agudelo, Director of Investor Relationships for Grupo Argos, you may begin your call. Good morning. Thank you for participating on this call, where we discuss Grupo Argos results for the fourth quarter of 2019. Here I have Jorge Mario Velázquez, Grupo Argos President, Alejandro Piedraita, Vice President of Corporate Strategy and Finances for Grupo Argos, Rafael Alivella, Vice President for Talent and Corporate Affairs for Grupo Argos, María Clara Arizabal, Manager of the Real Estate Business, Mario Ciosa, President of ODINSA, and Pablo Arroyave, Vice President of Corporate Affairs for ODINSA. This teleconference is being translated into English simultaneously. And I remind that all our communications, as well as the results, reports, relevant information, and presentations are published in Spanish and English on our investor portal in www.grupoargos.com. On our website, we have made available the presentation that we will follow during the conference call. To download it, go to the section Financial Information and then to the Report section, where you will find a file called Presentation 4T2019. I invite you to start the presentation on slide 3. I give the floor to Jorge Mario Velázquez, President of Grupo Argos. Thank you, Natalia, and good morning. Thank you for being here with us to share with you the results for the fourth quarter of 2019 and to group the results of the year 2019. This year was very relevant for consolidating our role as asset managers in Grupo Argos. This period was marked by the dynamism and the and discipline that allowed us to achieve significant progress in strengthening the three main businesses of Grupo Argos and continue positioning ourselves as a relevant infrastructure platform on the American continent that acts in a disciplined manner in capital execution and assignment and viable for a simultaneous generation of development and well-being in the territories where we have a presence. During the fourth quarter of last year, we continued making progress along this path. Over the last 3 months of the year, we achieved important milestones on two fronts that we established for this organization. The first, strengthening the profitability of our companies, and the second, continue moving forward in selective, profitable, and strategic growth. To achieve this, we developed a platform schema that powers the growth of our business through the creation of vehicles with which we seek to attract first-level partners that will contribute not only capital but also knowledge to the development of our project portfolio. This system allows us to capitalize on our pipeline by achieving decreasing capital costs, letting us be more aggressive with CAPEX execution and take advantage of the best opportunities in the markets in which we participate. The first vehicles in this growth schema were constituted during the second half of last year with partnerships for close to 1.4 trillion pesos with Cubico Sustainable Investments, an important global investor with which we are developing two platforms. The first groups solar generation assets and begins with a plan for developing over 300 megawatts of energy, and the second contemplates investments and the transmission and distribution business, and covers the assets that we will develop under the framework of the Plan 5 Caribe and the new distribution substations and projects in Tolima. On the selective growth front, profitable and strategic growth front, at the end of the year, we achieved a fundamental milestone with the approval of the beginning of the feasibility stage for the project for expanding the airport system in Bogota, issued in December by the National Infrastructure Agency. This initiative will require investments for over $3.2 billion and will allow preparing Colombia's airport infrastructure for the growing demand that it has been registering. And so we are viewing this step with the greatest enthusiasm for the country and, of course, for the organization. We are also moving forward with the consolidation of our portfolio of highway concessions by closing the purchase agreement of a relevant share of the Aburrá Oriente Tunnel. With this asset, we strengthen our future cash flows. We expand the duration of the portfolio in operation and maintenance. We increase liquidity and improve our position facing global investors. Although traffic projections for so close to 25,000 vehicles a day circulating through this tunnel, the tunnel ended the year with close to 30,000 vehicles a day, 20% above estimates, and a positive indicator that validates our investment thesis. During this period, we also reprofiled the debt of the Autopista del Café for 250 billion pesos, and with this transaction, we add over 3 trillion pesos in placements in local and international markets during 2019, achieving our objective of increasing profitability per asset and increasing financial flexibility for Olinsa. On this point, I would like to highlight that this corporate group has managed to access capital markets in an agile and efficient manner. These movements represented consolidated optimizations reflected in close to 16 basic points in rate reductions while improving the maturity profile by close to a year. In total, we carried out portfolio issue placements and turnover for over 11 trillion pesos, which makes us driving agents within the financial market. We made progress with the strategy of deleveraging our cement business with a disinvestment in the concrete cluster in the southwest of the United States for $95 million, which allowed us to end 2019, decreasing our financial debt in close to 430 billion pesos, 6% lower than we closed in 2018. Over the last 2 years, this company has achieved reductions in its gross debt of close to 950 billion pesos. The milestones of the last quarter that I have just mentioned, together with the executions that we communicated during 2019, are a clear and solid proof of the consistency with which we are developing our strategy as asset managers. This progress, analyzed over a longer time frame, events the transformation that we have achieved on a portfolio level and for each asset, and are even more impressive when we compare the evolution of the financial results, returns, optimization of the use of capital sources, and cash generation for the company. With this introduction and summary, I would like you to review the financial statements for Grupo Argos on slide 6 of the presentation that we have shared with you. I am going to talk, first of all, about consolidated group-level results. I would like to highlight our operations in 2019, since as this is the year closing conference call, I think it is proper to share with you how the progress of our operations begin to make sense as we see them over longer periods and do not just analyze them in quarterly cycles. In 2019 ended with income of 16.8 trillion pesos, growing 80%. This figure brings together several effects of our business. Cement, contributed strengthened operations in the United States and the recovery of the Colombian market in energy. The diversification of the database was of the asset base was very relevant, with income that in 2019 included the entry of Plan Cinco Caribe and the greatest number of users in the distribution segment after the purchase of the assets in Tolima. In concessions, we highlight the consolidation of a platform that transported close to 40 million passengers in our airports and 37 million vehicles on highways, both inside and outside Colombia. These results also take into account the leadership of Grupo Argos regarding the optimization of profitability through a rigorous asset turnover exercise and disinvestments that during the year became most evident in the energy and cement businesses. The EBITDA, consolidated EBITDA, and closed the year at 4.8 trillion pesos, growing 21% during 2019, and reflecting a more balanced operation, especially in the energy business, which, after the capital turnovers, managed to increase the distribution business EBITDA in 26%. Balance and diversification of results between generation and distribution, besides realizing profit in the transmission business with the creation of the Cubico platform, meant a contribution to the consolidated EBITDA of Grupo Argos of 1.8 trillion pesos, 670 billion pesos above the contribution of the same business in 2018. In turn, the cement business continued leading efforts in efficiencies and added $10 million USD in the year, and this was translated to a greater contribution to the consolidated EBITDA of Grupo Argos for 222 billion pesos for a total of 1.8 trillion pesos during 2019, growing 14% year on year. Consolidated management expenses increased because of non-recurrent expenses that were part of the structural optimization, greater fees because of consulting performed for used for performing these transactions, as well as greater personnel expenses in the energy business after incorporating the Tolima assets. And these are more manpower intensive assets. Our efforts are still focused on achieving greater efficiencies in all our operations, and we will continue working on this in 2020. Within this context, the net profit reached 1.3 trillion pesos, while as the net profit of the controlling company reached 690 billion pesos. The asymmetric impact is explained because of a greater income tax load that grew grew year on year, largely because of the calculation of deferred taxes, which do not represent cash outlays, as well as the growth of the capital gains tax, generated mainly by non-recurrent operations arising from asset disinvestments, that meant an additional registry of 147 billion pesos. It is worth highlighting that a good part of this provision will be attended using tax credits from previous periods in each of the business, and so the effective cash outlay is substantially less. Now, let's look at the separate result statements, and these begin on slide number 9 of the presentation that we shared with you. To December 2019, Grupo Argos income was 846 billion pesos, which breaks down into 222 billion pesos income from financial activities, 190 billion income from the real estate business, and 433 billion from the participation method. We observe a significant variation in the financial income that is due to disinvestment in EPSA shares, almost all of these carried out in 2018, and that meant additional income during that year, during 2018, of 655 billion pesos. Thus, the income due to participation methods and from the urban development business were stable during 2019. Regarding the participation method, I would like to go into a little bit of detail in the regarding the variations arising from the different businesses. In Celsia, it is worth highlighting the growth of the net profit of the controlling that achieved $473 billion, growing 180% during the year. This is one of the most important results achieved in this business, and it shows that the transformation of the structure of the assets is generating greater value for Grupo Argos and its shareholders, and its other shareholders. In cements, although operational level results can be highlighted because they confirm profitability increases in 40% EBITDA year over year. They have a decrease in net profit because of greater financial and tax expenditures that are impacted by exchange rate differences and by greater taxes associated with asset disinvestments. Finally, for Audinsa, our concessions business, we highlight a growth in the participation method that is due greatly to better operational performance in the road segment because of greater traffic and progress made with the construction of Pacifico Dos. Its greater contribution can be highlighted despite a decrease in participation in airport assets, where we optimize the capital structure via greater indebtedness, which derived in greater financial expenses, but increased the cash flow for investors. This impact, however, is consequent with our object to generate value by maximizing the profitability of these concessions. Regarding administration and sales expenses, these increased, explained mainly by greater depreciations and amortizations, which were equal to 60 billion pesos during the year, deriving from the purchase of Opain, and where it is important to highlight that these do not represent cash outflows. By excluding this accounting effect, if total administration expenses decreased 2% in real terms. Likewise, it is important to highlight that the component of manageable expenditures by Grupo Argos continues decreasing with a decreasing trend, with a 5% reduction in real terms, which reaffirms our commitment to optimum and efficient management. Thus, EBITDA ends the year at 650 billion pesos and net profit at 483 billion pesos, explained greatly, as I mentioned before, by portfolio disinvestments performed in the previous year. We continue committed to very efficient cash management and management of the capital structure, equity structure. Therefore, during 2019, we prepaid debt for 665 billion pesos and increased its half-life from 4.9 years to 6.6 years after placement of ordinary bonds to the tune of 450 billion pesos. Besides, during the entire year, cash was maintained at minimum levels, and we closed the year with 2 billion pesos in available cash and a balance of debt of 1.6 trillion pesos. This gave a leveraging indicator of 2.5 times net debt over adjusted EBITDA and 2.7 times debt over received dividends. Having reviewed the consolidated and separated results, now I'd like to invite you to begin and analysis of the operational results of each of our strategic businesses, beginning with the concessions businesses, the figures of which you could find on slide 14. During 2019, our concessions businesses expanded its strategic portfolio, optimized operation, and strengthened its financial structure. In this manner, it ratified market confidence in the strategy that we began with the company since 2016, and which allows us to report favorable results that evince an ongoing evolution for positioning Odinsa as a powerful infrastructure platform in the region. Today, our concessions business is capable of attracting international players, both because of its capacity as an originator of infrastructure projects that are relevant for the region, as well as due to the moment that the sector is undergoing in Latin America. We would like to highlight some of the main milestones for Odinsa during the fourth quarter of 2019. In December, the National Infrastructure Agency approved the start of the feasibility period for the project for expanding the Bogota Airport system, an ambitious plan for doubling the passenger capacity of the El Dorado International Airport, which will require estimated investments of close to $3.2 billion. Also, during the fourth semester, we closed the transaction for refinancing the Autopista del Café concession for 250 billion pesos in the Colombian banking market, with which we consolidated three debt operations in the year for close to 3 trillion pesos, and this capital was used to optimize the business's capital structure, equity structure. Finally, the Aurora Oriente Tunnel concession began operations, the acquisition of which we had announced in November for 340 billion pesos, and which we estimate will generate will provide 130 billion COP to the EBITDA as of 2020. Moving on to operational results, as you can observe on slide 15, during the fourth quarter of 2019, we observed a very positive dynamic, especially in airport traffic, with a consolidated growth of 6%, highlighting 9% growth in Opaín, which with 9.1 million passengers over the last 3 months of 2019, closed the year with 35.1 million passengers traveling through the Bogotá airport. In turn, circulation on our highway concessions, both inside and outside Colombia, reached an average of 114,000 vehicles a day, with a 40% growth compared to 2018, and 37 million vehicles over the year. We highlight the contribution of the Túnel de Oriente that recorded a daily average of close to 30,000 vehicles a day over the quarter, 5% above original estimates. Now, to learn the financial results, I would like to invite you to look at slide 16. In terms of income, on a consolidated level, Odinsa registered 179 billion pesos over the fourth quarter of 2019, 11% less compared to the same quarter the previous year. This was an expected effect explained by the strategy of refinancing Keyport to optimize its capital structure. We highlight the greater contribution of the highway concessions that reached 197 billion pesos, growing 50% year-on-year due to better results from Pacifico II and the entrance in operation of the Túnel de Oriente. EBITDA shows 10% increase for the fourth quarter, reaching 131 billion pesos, with a positive contribution from the highway concession segment that had a 134% variation year-on-year, reaching 129 billion pesos. And this result is explained mainly due to greater traffic flows. Regarding the airport segment, the contribution to the EBITDA was 6 billion pesos as an effect of asset refinancing. These figures contribute to the annual results that closed the year with an income of 762 billion pesos, an EBITDA of 543 billion pesos that grows 2%, and a net profit of 142 billion pesos growing 5%. The figures that we report at the end of 2019 for the concessions business evince our commitment to profitability that we have achieved by optimizing capital structures for the airport assets and AQF, profitable portfolio growth with the acquisition of the Túnel de Oriente concession, progress in structuring future projects. Given that Olinta's results do not consolidate Opaín, I would like to invite you to review the main operational progress made and the behavior of the figures of this corporation contained on slide 17. Income was equal to 311 billion for the quarter, growing 5% compared to the same period in 2018. This increase is due to 11% increase in regulated income. In turn, EBITDA ended the quarter at 93 billion pesos, a negative variation of 29% due mainly to the recognition of future periods in the fourth quarter of 2018, which also generated a decrease in net profit. Although this income is contractual, they are not present in all years of operation. I would like to finally highlight that El Dorado was located as the third-best airport in Latin America in 2019 and received a four-star rating from Skytrax. A product of optimum infrastructure management in the operation of this asset. Having reviewed the concessions business, I would like to invite you to continue with the cement business on the next slide. As you know, over recent years, our strategy for the cement business has focused on profitability. Along these lines, Cementos Argos continues implementing rigorously its operational efficiency program called BEST, with which the United States region was a leading player in 2019 with savings that added up to $10 million. In a parallel fashion, we move forward with disinvesting in non-strategic assets, adding close to $95 million in the last quarter with the sale of a cluster of non-strategic concrete plants in the southwest of the United States. These resources allowed decreasing our debt by 430 billion pesos for the purpose of reducing our leveraging indicators to generate greater financial flexibility. We hope to reach the goal of achieving an indicator of 3.2x net debt over EBITDA at the end of this year. This decrease contemplates a careful plan of asset disinvestment during the year, as well as a strengthening of the EBITDA. We also highlight rigorous cash management carried out by Cementos Argos during the previous year. The company was strengthened with efficiency initiatives that allowed increasing EBITDA generation, increasing returns on employed capital, reducing its working capital cycle by 8 days, and maintaining a disciplined equity assignment. By the end of the year, the business had a positive cash flow of 375 billion pesos, proving its capacity for adapting to cycle variations in the sector and a commitment to management with value generation. It is also good to show you that it recently launched into the market the first green cement, a new production line from the Rio Claro plant. This product decreases the use of clinker thanks to the incorporation of thermally activated clay, reducing up to 30% CO2 emissions and 30% energy consumption in comparison with the industry standards. Innovations like this are proof of the commitment we have to the environment, provide us with competitive, with long-term competitive advantages, and continue positioning us as innovation leaders within the market. On an operational level, cement dispatches reached 3.8 million tons during the fourth quarter, decreasing 0.5% in comparison with the same quarter in 2018, and concrete dispatches reached 2.4 million cubic meters, growing by 1.2%. These volumes reflect a positive growth of the demand in the United States, the challenging market conditions in Honduras and Panama, and the effect of becoming leaders through our marketing strategy in Colombia. Regarding financial results, consolidated income closed ended the quarter at 2.3 trillion pesos, growing 11%, and 9.4 trillion pesos over the entire year, growing by the same percentage. In turn, the EBITDA for the quarter was 479 billion pesos, 16% more than the same period for the previous year, including the effect of disinvestments. Likewise, the year's the cumulative amount for the year was 1.8 trillion pesos, growing 40% compared to 2018. Regarding the results, I want to highlight that the United States operations, where we continue observing good dynamics in terms of the demand that has been reflected by great volumes, and it has allowed us to increase plant utilization. We continue moving forward with the efficiency plan that allowed us to close with an EBITDA in that region of $268 million, growing by 12% year on year. Now let's look at slides 23 to 25 so that we can look at the results of the energy business. 2019 was a transformational year for Celsia. Within a long-term strategy, we made very relevant steps towards the consolidation of a company with a very solid asset base in generation, transmission, and distribution, with a better balance between its sources of income and an optimum equity structure position. We also simplified the corporation that allows a better profit flow to final shareholders. During this quarter, we consolidated great milestones. Within these, we highlight the creation of the Caoba Investments platform with an initial value of 1.4 trillion pesos, and this is a very important foundation for the company's growth because it validates the strategy by sophisticated investors. It quantifies value generation by through recognition of the asset prices, which is reflected by a profit of 263 billion pesos, and it empowers simultaneously the company's growth capacity, ensuring resources to move forward with the goal of converting Celsia into one of the main energy platforms in the region. Moving on to the financial results that you can see on slide 25, we can see a growth of 7% in the consolidated quarterly income, equal to 967 billion pesos, of which Colombia contributed 814 billion pesos, favored by greater contributions from the transmission and distribution business. These income results are consistent with those registered for 2019, which ended the year at 3.7 trillion pesos, growing 9% year on year. EBITDA for the quarter was 379 billion pesos, while the consolidated EBITDA for the year closed at 1.3 trillion pesos, growing 11% for a 34% margin. I would like to highlight the contribution of the Tolima operations, which over the first 6 years of 6 months of consolidation added 125 billion pesos to the year's EBITDA, including the retributions received over the final period because of Law 1715. It is important to highlight how a simplification of the corporate structure, together with progress made in asset turnover has resulted in a greater net profit for the controlling company, reaching 473 billion pesos, growing 180%, which is a historic result for the company and which proves our commitment to the generation of value for shareholders. In 2019, we made significant progress regarding the indebtedness profile for this business, thanks to deleveraging and reprofiling programs that were carried out together with the above-mentioned strategic projects. The half-life of the consolidated debt went from 6.2 years in 2018 to 8 years in 2019. In turn, the cost of the debt in pesos went down 60 basis points, while the cost of the debt in dollars went down by 23 basis points. Celsia ended 2019 with a consolidated leveraging indicator of 2.7x net debt over EBITDA, significantly lower than the indicator of 3.9x registered at the end of 2018, and with a cash flow position of 385 billion pesos, which allows the company to continue consolidating its asset base and generating synergies through the transactions performed during the year. Moving on to slides 27 and 28, I would like to invite you to look at the real estate business. As we have repeated on several occasions, the dynamic of the urban development business is expressed most precisely in the behavior of its cash flow. Therefore, I would like to highlight that in 2019, this business has achieved a cash flow income of 92 billion pesos, growing 12% compared to the same period of the previous year. 11 negotiations were closed during the year, equal to 120 billion pesos, representing a growth of close to 20% over 2018. In 2019, we can highlight progress with a property in Barú, where it began to realize the dream of creating an international level destination that began with the construction of the Sofitel Cala Blanca Hotel, which we hope will open its doors to tourists in Barú in 2021. This initiative, together with the new Grande Camarón Hotel, has activated interest in the market and has allowed us to move forward with additional negotiations for hotel projects that will expose us to different market segments, importantly empowering the value of our assets on the island. Regarding the real estate income business, our partners with Pactia, during the year, we registered income for 309 billion pesos, an EBITDA of 134 billion in EBITDA, and net operating income of 198 billion. The fund ended the year with managed assets of 3.9 trillion pesos. Finally, I would like to refer to the topic of sustainability. The results that we have seen up to now are the product of a comprehensive vision for value creation that we lead and promote in Grupo Argos with the objective of transforming financial resources, human resources, and natural resources to generate development and well-being for our shareholders and investments, and to all our stakeholder groups. Therefore, as an evolution of our market transparency practices and with the objective of allowing you to have comprehensive knowledge of our operations, I would like to invite you to review the main progress we have made regarding our sustainability strategy. This effort is today recognized by RobecoSAM and S&P Global, who for the third consecutive year highlighted us as global leaders because of our financial, social, and environmental performance by giving us the gold seal in their sustainability annual publication. I would also like to highlight the recognition obtained by Cementos Arcos, which also received a gold seal, while Celsia received a bronze seal in this global sustainability reference. We receive these awards with humility, but with great satisfaction and responsibility, as they reflect our conviction regarding doing business that will benefit all the environments where we act, so that our value generation can transcend our financial results and create more sustainable and prosperous societies. Before opening up the question and answer session, I would like to refer to the announcement that was published yesterday regarding a proposal for dividends and share repurchasing. The repurchasing plan of over 400 billion pesos over the next 3 years responds to the conviction that we have regarding corporate management and the fundamental value of the same, highlighted by the results and by the milestones that we have achieved as asset managers, and which, due to market reasons, have not been reflected by the fundamental share price. There is no doubt that repurchasing Grupo Argos assets is a responsible alternative facing our investors who have trusted in and continue trusted in this company's capacity for generating sustainable value. We will also propose to the shareholder meeting dividends that grow above inflation by 350 basic points, almost doubling inflation, with which that management seeks to make shareholders greater participants in the profits arising from the operations of Grupo Argos and its businesses during 2019. This was a year full of progress, materialized in growing financial results, and that we are proud today to share with you. Looking back and seeing what we have achieved in the articulation of this portfolio that we received in 2012 fills us with satisfaction, but also brings us great challenges regarding the vision we have for the future. Therefore, I would like to give the operator the floor to continue with the question and answers session. Now, I would like to remind you all that if you want to ask any questions, please press the star key and followed by number one on the keyboard on your phone. If you wish to withdraw your question, use the number key or the pound key. We are going to make a pause to compile the questions and answers. Now we are going to take questions from the Spanish participants. The first question comes from Ricardo Sandoval with Bancolombia. Good morning. Thank you very much for the call. Jorge Mario, I have two questions. The first is I would like to hear your opinion. You're part of the board of my company, and why do you want to repurchase shares in these three companies and not Cementos Argos, taking into account that the share price is quite low? And I'm also on the board of directors of Cementos Argos. That's the first question. And the second question is, if Grupo Argos, its definition as holding, has wishes to increase its shares of Cementos Argos. Ricardo, thank you very much. I would like to answer these questions. They are very relevant. So, the share repurchasing program, I'm going to give you some context. This is a very clear way in which the organization can invest in The price of the shares, the business of the company is not reflected properly by the share price because of different reasons, because of imperfections in the market. In the market, they do not reflect the value. So this is a clear sign of confidence in its own business by repurchasing its own shares. And I would say that simultaneously, it is a responsible option and a positive option for capital outlays. The second thing that I would highlight here is that the operation that is that being put to the shareholder meeting, it seeks to set up the proper reserves and delegate to the board of directors the operation of this over the next 3 years. This is 400 billion peso operation that has to wait to several circumstances. It is an important, relevant operation, but it also has to be adjusted to the specific requirements of each company and the cash possibilities of each company to be able to do this. Among several virtues that the program has, it is also a mechanism for improving, and this is done efficiently when it uses tax reserves that can be distributed with tax benefits to its shareholders. So the condition of each company is not the same. The strategic moment of each company is not necessarily the same. And I'm going to refer to Cement. Cement, the strategy that we have outlined and that we are following up in the board of directors and defining in the board of directors, and it has been developed adequately by the administration, has two clear focuses right now. The first is increasing operational efficiencies and adapting the business's operational and administrative structure to improve its profitability in a clearly dynamic and changing market. And the second has the purpose of deleveraging the balance sheet of Cementos Arcos. So along these two lines, the company has been doing important work, as I mentioned, for increasing profits, lowering the debt through disinvesting strategically in non-strategic assets. And the focus we have done on controlling Cement is we are controlling the organization's cash flow to guarantee that it can simultaneously do three things. The first is cover the CAPEX needs to maintain efficient operations. It can't stop investing the CAPEX. It needs to be a competitive organization. The second is to cover the taxes, to service the debt, and third, to maintain dividends for shareholders. It is a public company that has a very important number of different types of shareholders, individuals, pension funds, public, private, foreign investors. With all this strategy, the priorities for the use of cash in Argos are guided by these three pillars. So to be able to invest, maintain, and maintain the service of the debt and maintain dividends to its shareholders. So we are proposing an important increase in dividends and also purchase of shares because it's responsible, and also the cash flow indebtedness for Grupo Arcos allow us to do this. So in summary, it is an operation that transfers value appropriately to shareholders. It is based on a conviction that it is a very good assignment of capital for Grupo Argos right now, but it also attends to the needs and specificities of each of the company. So at Cementos Arcos, we think that the priority has to be applying its cash to these three elements that we defined before. So I would answer the first one like that. So can you repeat the second question? The answer is implicit in the first answer, in the sense that there's the priority of the assignment of resources and capital expenditures. That explains the reasons behind the actions of Grupo Arcos and the actions of Cementos Arcos. We think that it's an adequate balance to maximize allocation of the resources in the most efficient financial manner, but also that best maintains sustainability and value construction in the long term. Second question comes from Johanna Castro with Itaú. Good morning. Continuing with the question, with the previous question, I think that I'm not very clear on the answer. If the priority of Cementos Arcos, from what I heard, is deleverage, I don't understand why it is not sold off its portfolio for Grupo Suro for the last year. And since we are in board of directors conversations, if the priorities of the companies, do agree that the priority is to deleverage, then Grupo Suro should also have deleveraged instead of repurchasing shares, because of the long term, as you mentioned, the added value is much larger, and not the short-term effect on the share price of share repurchasing. So I don't understand the definition of priorities. I thank you for your question, but with all due respect, I also want to suggest something. I would like to invite you to talk about the decisions and the rationales of Grupo Argos with all the transparency and openness. But I think that the strategies for Grupo Sura, where I sit on the board, this is a topic that we should talk about at the conference call in Grupo Sura, and not the conference call for Grupo Argos. However, so I would suggest that with what I would say that is that the operation of the decision to repurchasing Grupo Argos and Cemento, look at what we just said, is even in an in extremely dynamic activity, a growth activity in concessions where we acquired a tunnel, where we continued growing, where we structured a set of projects that require very important investments, where in the energy business we grew our wind platforms, the dam in Verkia, solar panel generation throughout the entire country, where we purchased companies in Tolima. Within that dynamic of growth and expansion, the companies consolidated debt stays the same. It's not decreasing in general terms. So in summary, the priority in deleveraging is not just a strategic decision, but is also a reality for 2019. So when you look at the growth of Argos, as you can see, we in the Cementos, we disinvested $95 billion in concrete plants that we could disinvest responsibly, maintaining our generation of integrated business in cement to deleverage. And this company has deleveraged close to 1 trillion pesos in the last 3 years. And today, as the market has announced, we are beginning a process that has extremely positive attraction to disinvest in concrete assets in Houston and Dallas. And this is an operation involving several hundreds of millions of dollars, and we are convinced that a reasonable price is the best decision for reducing the company's leverage. So I would a message I would like to transmit is that we are fully committed to deleveraging the companies, to disinvest in assets that make sense at the time because they have a fundamental value to the disinvestment because of the rationale for generating value for you, for shareholders, and which will also allow appropriately retribute our shareholders that have accompanied the story for decades. So it's a balance and a conviction between deleveraging, selectively deinvesting in those assets, in those markets where the possibility to capture value is correct. Okay, I understand, but if you allow me to continue the question then, given that we are about 1 year, 1 week, the process of selling Caribe Mar and the Azul Felipe Caribe, if you decide to participate from Celsia, could that be a use of resources to continue growing in Celsia? I want to understand the rationale because I don't understand the use of the platforms and the use of the resources that are available in the market, given that Grupo Argos would right now be assigning 400 billion pesos to share repurchasing, but what I've also understood is that if it is necessary at some time and if the opportunity arose and the correct price existed, Celsia would also participate in this kind of opportunity. So I don't know if Grupo Argos leveraging will be enough to support this kind of CapEx operation. This is gives me the chance to go into greater depth in the topic of platforms and also talk about our position on the board of directors regarding the process of Elex Caribe, what we're doing, and what is the capital assignment process in Grupo Argos. So I want to start with the second question. If you like, Elex Caribe, we have said publicly that this organization is evaluating all the angles that have to be taken into account with evaluating an opportunity like Caribe on its own, and this goes through a financial analysis. It goes through anthropological and sociological analysis to understand the culture embedded in those assets. It looks at the size of the investments that are made long term. It goes through an analysis whether the specific company is the best owner of those assets because these assets will generate value synergistically with the existing portfolio. And within the framework of that discussion, that is where the board of Celsia has been analyzing that process. We have not made a decision yet, and we've said this publicly, regarding the acquisition. But any decision would be based on the foundation that this is the best financial investment option, that it would be a responsible investment, and that it would bring the returns with the adequate profile risk for the company. And we have not made a decision yet. We have not decided to participate in the assets of Caribe. And this also relates to the platforms. What we do with the platform is we compare competences of Grupo Argos. This Grupo Argos is a very good manager of platform growth, where we've seen with Plansico Caribe, we've seen with solar resources and what we can do in wind generation businesses by bringing in other institutional partners who will contribute low-cost capital, but will also bring knowledge to cover to help with the competencies that Grupo Argos and its affiliates has. So it's a virtuous multiplier of the for the assignation of capital and what Argos can do by taking on debts. And that, in that sense, the direct allocation of capital or via debt or via platforms or via specific partners in specific assets, these are mechanisms within the platform, within the portfolio that the company has to invest in its assets, but all of these are related to a very careful analysis of financial and risk analysis, and this is the process with which we assign capital within Grupo Argos. We carefully analyze our capacity for extracting value and also the potential value, the potential increased value that we can obtain from each of these assets. That is how we look at things from Grupo Argos. So once again, the discussion if we decide to do it, it doesn't mean that Argos is going to have to provide the equity. And there are other mechanisms, but we haven't made that decision, and we will only make it after analyzing all these variables. Thank you very much. The next question comes from Rodrigo Sanchez with Davivienda Corredores. I'm sorry, the line is very, very bad, and I can't understand what he's saying. Rodrigo, I'm sorry, because we have a lot of noise, and I can't understand you. Just a minute. Okay, is that better? Hello? We had to mute his line. I can't understand the question because there's noise, intermittent noise on the line. I don't know if Rodrigo could dial in again on a different line to be able to understand the question. Can we move on to the next question? Our next question comes from Daniel Guardiola with EPG. Good morning. Good morning, how are you? I have a couple of questions. My first question, I would like to better understand the rationale behind the subsidiary of Grupo Argos, specifically Cementos Argos and Celsia, and specifically taking account into the case of cements that Cements, as you have mentioned, has had some very complex operational years where EBITDA has gone down, and this is increased leveraging. And I would also like to understand this high leveraging, where you're going to reinvest the shares in of 400 billion. What is the, and in the case of Celsia, I understand that last year you had non-recurring income related to sales, but if you look at the profile of free cash flow generation for the next 3 years in Celsia, is going to be negative because of the number of investments and how is it going to have, because in the case of in Celsia, I'd like to understand the rationales for the proposals in the subsidiaries. And the second one, Jorge Maria, you were mentioning that one of the rationales behind the buyback is to unblock value for shareholders? And in that sense, I would like to ask you if you have considered reorganization, specifically in the concessions business, and look for some mechanisms that will give you better pricing using some other mechanism. And those are my two questions. Daniel, yes. I would like to start with the first part of the rationale regarding dividends in affiliates. I am based on a principle of multidimensional and simultaneous responsibility. And that means the capacity to be able to retribute the shareholders while maintaining a yield to be attractive for all investors. All our companies have a large number of shareholders, not just one individual or one company, directly or indirectly, tens of thousands of shareholders. So how do we keep maintain the right signals for profitability for these shareholders in the long term, and the continuity provided by trust in the long-term equity story, maintaining simultaneously those dividends for shareholders, but acknowledging the specific needs for a period of time. And that's why I'd like to look at the case of Celsia. In the case of Celsia, what we are proposing, as you mentioned, as proposed by the board of directors and the shareholder meeting, it is to acknowledge yield extraordinary yield because of disinvestment in the free trade zone, which created marginal results for the company, but simultaneously maintaining the conviction that directly with the platforms, with the capacity for generation, the primary surplus of these companies is positive. The capacity to simultaneously attend the CapEx required, the taxes, the dividends, and the interests. So in the case of Celsia, it's recognition of partially acknowledging the sale of $420 million is giving us an extraordinary profit of $30 million, and this is generated in port of value. So a large part of the value generated by the disinvestment will be maintained within the company precisely to attend these future growth needs, and simultaneously deleverage it to a level that was lower than 3 times, as around 2.7 times, which is the leveraging of Celsius. So that's the rationale of the case of Celsius. In the case of Cementos, once again, I'd like to repeat our considerations. The EBITDA generated by the cement business, $22 million, with a very positive trend over the year in 2020. The signals that we are receiving that Juan Esteban has commented in the last quarter, plus the signals that we're seeing regarding the Colombian and United States markets, allow us to feel that the cash flow, projected cash flow for 2020, which is what we base on for dividends, will be continue stable in 2020, and we'll continue disinvesting, not just like those we are looking at, but we will have the same cash flow, and we will be able to cover the dividends for shareholders, which is part of the process of the business. So this is the rationale. It's also a long-term vision that will balance out the specificities of the business with its capacity for growth, with its need to be deleveraged, but also its need to maintain dividends for shareholders. Regarding Olinsa's question, the question is yes. we have been studying and looking at alternatives for different type of structures that can accompany its future growth. At that time, and when it's timely, we will let the market know, but the answer is yes. Mauricio said this publicly, and I have said it too. We are looking for corporate and capital structures and equity structures that will allow leveraging the capacities of Olin. So I would like to go back to the rationale that I mentioned. If there's one thing that this company does well, it is combine the transformation of financial assets or natural assets or human assets, like in the case of Olinsa, and its great competence is its asset management and value creation abilities. And this is a very important competence that attracts investors that can also contribute capital and knowledge to create growth in that dimension. So the direct answer is yes. I don't have information, but I can give you, and I can't give you any more information than that, but this is a dynamic that we are looking at in the future. Thank you very much. Can I have a last, very brief question? To learn more questions about the buyback, I would like to know it's a proposal and it has to be approved by the shareholder meeting, but I don't know if you're going to give more details on this more than just the buyback proposal. One, whether that buyback could focus on preferential shares, and the other is that whether through this buyback you plan to, in the end, cancel the shares or to leave them as treasury shares. Thank you very much. They're two very relevant questions, and I will answer both. As you say, so we all have the same information. What was being proposed is the proposal is that the shareholder assembly will approve a 400 billion program over 3 years with detailed regulations, and the board of directors will develop the mechanisms that will guarantee the equality of treatment to all the shareholders in the region. So regarding your first question, I would say that the consideration that the board of directors will take into account is that it will give an equal treatment to all investors, no matter their type or their condition. They should all have the same access to the conditions of this offer. This is natural. I'm pretty sure that the board of directors will look at the preferential shares and others regarding this option. The second is whether they will be cancelled or not cancelled. I think that question is very relevant, and the concrete answer is they will not be cancelled. They will be left in the company's treasury and therefore can be used for several purposes, used as an asset to return them to market when the conditions arise, or use them as a means of payment in any operation that will be carried out. They're an asset of the company, and so this will not dilute the number of subscribed and paid up shares. These shares will not be cancelled. Thank you very much, Jorge Mario, for your answer. Our next question comes from Rodrigo Sanchez with Davivienda Corredores. Good morning, Jorge Mario. Thank you very much for your presentation. Continuing with the questions regarding the buyback, although I understand that there's no debt maturity in the in upcoming, what resources would Argos use for this buyback, understanding that it's over a period of 3 years, but also understanding the deleveraging strategy that the group has been carrying out and that you mentioned is not just for the holding but for all its companies and also evaluating the current position of Grupo Argos individually. And the next question is that I would like to understand in more detail what the assets, the 24 billion assets that are now non-current assets, maintained for sale, where do they come from? So thank you very much. And I'm sorry we couldn't hear you earlier on. So I'm going to give the floor to Alejandro, who's here with me, Alejandro Piedraita, so he can give you details of the projected cash flow, how they're projected for 2020, and how we can maintain the flexibility for the buyback proposal. So I want to give the floor to Alejandro, and then I'll tell you which are the assets that, so from a point of view, cash flow point of view, the prediction that we have for 2020 is more or less the following. We have projected to receive dividends in 2020, about 530 billion pesos approximately. Additionally, we have the urban development business, which we estimate a cash flow of close to 115 billion pesos. This gives us income cash flow of close to 650 billion pesos. There are other types of shares that we are developing which are not public right now, but could be additional amounts that could be over 250 billion pesos. But if we just take those, that income that we're looking at right now, we have 650 billion pesos. Out of those 650 billion pesos, if we talk about the dividend that we expect to receive, we're talking about 350 million pesos, taking the dividend from the last year. And looking at these last year's financial expenses, income for Grupo Arcos, taxes, etc., that means that we have what we have for uses, we're talking of about 500 million billion pesos approximately. With those 500 billion pesos plus the 650, we have a surplus of close to 150 billion pesos that are liquid. Add to these other 200 that could come in that we can't really share right now. So we have consolidated cash flow over the year of close to 350 billion pesos. And within the proposal, and as Jorge mentioned, the 400 billion pesos for the buy-cap, this is discretional over 3 years. It doesn't mean that in the first year we're going to go out and buy 400 billion pesos and buy that. So even in the event that we wanted to go out and buy 355 billion pesos this year, we would not touch the Grupo Argos leveraging structure, and the leveraging rate would be close to 2.5 to 3 times debt over adjusted EBITDA, which is very in line with the rating ratios where to maintain our AAA rating with Standard & Poor's. It's roughly around 3.5 leveraging. So we have enough leveraging in Grupo Arcos to enter into this buyback. Basically, the 24 billion in assets, this is the reclassification of Odempa, which is a company which is part of Cartón de Colombia, where we have a share, and which is a sale that we are structuring right now. Perfect. Thank you very much. I want to understand is understanding the activation of cash flow that you have for this year. What need or what contribution could Grupo Arcos make to the projects or the investment needs that Olinsa has over next year, understanding that it still has projects that are in pre-feasibility and feasibility stages, and A lot of this was done via project finance, but I would like to know whether with these resources that you mentioned in the cash flow, if Grupo Argus could be thinking of capitalizing or somehow helping Olinsa with fundraising for these future projects. Thank you, Rodrigo. Go back to what you said. The cash flow situation in the short and medium term, as Alejandro mentioned, it gives us important flexibility in the direct flows and also in the capacity that Grupo Argos has either to reconfigure its surplus liquidity that it has regarding certain assets where it doesn't need them, or to attract platforms and partners that will accompany growth, or to reassign debt risk profiles versus equity in certain assets, or to structure the project like we were talk about in Olinsa, and find partners for future developments. So I would say that the key word that we think is important in this organization today is flexibility. It's called optionalities. It's called having the capacity to use different financing sources and to have the capacity to mobilize resources in an agile manner, from the holding to the businesses and between the assets that the company has. And so it's a dynamic medium and long-term vision that goes through the photograph of the year. And in the photograph of the year, look, we're comfortable, and we're comfortable in the medium term because the appetite and the capacities for optimizing the asset portfolio, for de-investing in those areas where we are not the best owners and we do not generate value, where they can have more value in the hands of other shareholders, such as the case of the disinvestment in Olempa that Alejandro mentioned, because it has more value for another order than for us. So it's flexibility to be able to do this, to be able to have the flexibility and access to investor equity, to debt, to capital reallocations. And we do this under a discipline for maximizing value and of responsibility towards our stakeholders. Thank you very much. Jorge Mario Alejandro, thank you very much. Now we have no more questions. Do you have any other closing comments? No, thank you very much to all of you for accompanying us this time. And once again, the entire team that is here available for you for any questions you may have if you wish to go into greater depth. Alejandro, Mauricio, and Natalia, and we are all available for you. Thank you very much and have a very good day. This concludes today's conference. Thank you very much for your participation. Now you may disconnect.